Alright, alright, and we are back. It's another week, and you are listening to This is Rob T.
And Fanboy Dave.
And you are tuned in to the Brothers of Discussion. And it's been a couple of weeks since we've been able to talk to y'all, and let me tell you, a lot has happened in the last couple of weeks. Would you agree with me, Fanboy Dave?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot is going on, especially in the world of the WWE, and we're going to get all into that stuff, but we've got a treat for all of you today. We have a special guest with us via phone. He couldn't be here in person, but that's all right. And he's actually part of our family. He's related to us. He's our cousin.
Is he? I have a cousin.
You have a cousin.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think you've seen him since y'all were little. Y'all probably wrestled against each other. Y'all probably don't even remember it.
I don't remember.
But anyway, you remember Dolphy. I know that.
I remember him.
Yeah. But anyway, so without further ado, he is with Atlas. Is that right, Roland?
Yes, sir. Atlas Wrestling Promotion.
Atlas Wrestling Promotion from Uvalde, Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Mr. Roland Seiss. How you doing, Roland?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing? How's everybody else doing out there?
We're good. The family's good, man. It's good to hear from you. And apparently, Fanboy Dave does not remember you. I don't know if you remember him.
I remember him a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Y'all were like kids.
Well, I haven't been to Uvalde in probably over 15, 20 years. So.
Yeah, if not longer.
Maybe longer.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It's been a long time. But yes, you are our cousin. We are related. We are familia. I reached out to you this week because you've got a lot of insight in professional wrestling. And before we get into the topic today, we're going to save you talking about your promotion for the last segment. But why don't you go ahead and let our audience know basically your background and how you got into professional wrestling.
Okay, well, again, my name is Roland Seiss. I'm 35 years old. I was born in Brownwood, Texas, but I live here in Uvalde, where all my mom and dad's families are from and everything.
Uh-huh.
So the way I got into professional wrestling is actually by another cousin of ours named Rudy Agüero.
Oh yeah, gotta love Rudy.
Do I know Rudy?
Yeah, of course you know Rudy. Oh, don't even.
Oh, I do know Rudy. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I can remember my first match was when, I don't know if you guys remember when Gloria used to run like a daycare and they lived there, and they had like an upstairs room, and the first memory I have of wrestling is being with Rudy. Watching the Horsemen, specifically Art Anderson, Tully Blanchard, and Ric Flair,
right,
against Sting and two other guys, maybe the Steiners, maybe the Road Warriors.
Okay,
but I just remember watching it, be like, and they had Sting, and they were like, of course, you know, working over Sting, taking him to their corner. I'm like, no, don't, that's a bad corner. Don't go to that corner.
Right.
I was probably maybe 4 or 5 years old.
Wow.
Probably 4, if not 3, to be honest.
He still remembers. That's a good memory.
Yeah. Yeah, very good memory.
And, well, pretty much just been following wrestling ever since. All kinds of promotions. Of course, WWE. But I was more into WCW. I was more into NWA. Now, like, Ring of Honor, ECW.
So you've always kind of been against the norm. And didn't really accept WWE. Like, you did, like I know you're a fan. Like, you still watch it and whatnot, but it was never the first, right? The first choice.
Yeah, my first choice was always WCW and then ECW back in the 90s.
So why was that? Why did you kind of, like, not go for WWE like everybody else?
Well, I guess just that, just going against the norm. That's kind of the way I am. And it's, I don't know, it just enticed me more, I guess, because WCW is more like Southern kind of wrestling, I guess you could say, them good old Southern boys.
Yeah, that for wrestling. Some reason,
it just always enticed me, and they always had mainly guys from like Texas, and that enticed me even more to watch WCW more, because they had Dusty Rhodes, and they had, you know, just throughout the years, they had a lot of people from like Texas, and that really like enticed me, interested me more
than
WWE, who mainly had East Coast and Northeast guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Back then, too, it was more cartoon characters.
Right, right.
You know, because they were just...
Yeah.
Versus like what WCW was doing, it was just more towards the kids of... You had Coco Beware, you had Macho Man with the Bird, you know, all that stuff. So just a little bit different.
Right. Now, I will say this, Roland. Wrestling, and we talked about this in some of our first episodes, but wrestling has always been big in our family. From your grandma, my grandfather, my grandma. I mean, I remember my grandfather being a big fan of Ivan Putski.
Polish Power.
Yeah, I mean, so it's always been big in our family. You won't remember this because I think this is before you were even born, but I remember... I think it was World Class Championship Wrestling. It might not have been them specifically, but there were guys from that promotion that came to Uvalde and had a show. And we went to the show. It was me and my grandfather, my Uncle Sam. I remember that's where I saw David Von Erich. I saw Kevin Von Erich and Kerry Von Erich, Skandar Akbar, Gentleman Chris Adams. There was so many guys. Jose Lothario was there. So many guys... from back in the day that I remember, and it was there in the small town Uvalde. And so, yeah, wrestling has been very, very big in our family for sure. So you're all elite, right?
Oh, yeah, all elite
here
all the way.
Here we go again.
So as you know, because have you been listening to any of the podcasts?
To y'all's podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've caught a couple throughout the week.
Okay, so
now I know why he's on the show.
So as
he's
all
elite.
So as you know, your cousin, my brother, Fanboy Dave, is a huge WWE mark and will not even entertain the thought of watching one episode of AEW, which, in my opinion, gives him no ground to stand on, because if you can't even watch the competition, you don't really have a dog in the fight.
What are you talking about? I told you when Shotgun ordered the pay-per-view and CM Punk was fighting some, what's his name, Darby?
Yeah.
And it was, I caught like...
Yeah, did you hear his take on that match?
5 minutes Roland? Of it. It was terrible.
The Darby and Punk match?
Yeah, the pay-per-view. Remember when he first...
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, so
I love that I love that Punk is giving more to, like, of course, the younger guys, and how Darby's considered one of the pillars of AEW as right. well too. I mean,
right.
What so I saw
there's only
was
one way for him to learn.
What I saw was Punk struggling with 120-pound wet wrestler. That's what I saw after him being in the ring with the likes of Triple H, John Cena. I mean, main event guys, and you're struggling with 120 soaking pound wet guy that looks like a skeleton.
Yeah.
Come on now.
So
that's not realistic.
That's his take on it. And I'm like, the man was telling a story with Darby Allin, and I thought he did a damn good job of telling that story. He's looking at it more as a physical competition, to where Punk could hold his own between the likes of Triple H and whatnot. Why was he struggling with Darby Allin? And we could get into it, I know, but, you know, I tried to explain to him, it's all about storytelling. Let's not forget, Darby Allin is a different kind of performer. He's not like Triple H. He's not like any of those big guys like Brock Lesnar. So, to me, it makes sense. I mean, what's your take on it?
Let's see, I agree with you about the storytelling aspect, because that's what keeps people... wanting more is storytelling.
Right.
And of course that was a blow off, was that match at All Out. So you know, the storytelling was fine. Again, Darby was able to work against one of the best in the world, one of the best in the last couple of decades.
Yeah.
He's only gonna learn and grow, like, wrestling wise. He may not grow like much more bigger physically,
right,
but that experience is gonna make him be one of the top guys for years and years to come.
Exactly. Now, and I think you would agree with me that AEW still has a long way to go. They're not, of course, they're not perfect. They still make a lot of mistakes, you know, but right now, in my opinion, they have got an edge because, I mean, the stuff that they're doing...
We have an edge. His name is Adam Copeland.
Oh, shut up. I'm saying that AEW's kind of got more of the edge, not the wrestler, but has the edge because they're offering an alternative to people that are tired of eating the same old stuff with WWE.
Well, you're Mexican. Don't you eat a lot of beans? The same stuff? The same Spanish rice?
Yeah, but even every now and then I get tired of beans and rice, okay? Sometimes I want some steak, brother, and that AEW's offering that, okay? So that's what I'm saying. But let's be real here. We already know, there's no question about it, WWE is the king of the mountain, okay? AEW is not going to knock them off the mountain anytime soon, right? We know that already.
Yeah.
Ever.
They, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about ever.
They're never.
But for now, okay? But here's my thing, though. AEW is in a different arena than WWE because of the fact that WWE right now is not operating as a wrestling company. They're an entertainment company.
Sports entertainment.
That's right. And right now, the way that they're functioning, I mean, Roland, what do you think? I think the way that WWE is functioning right now, they don't really care about the performer. Look at how many people they've let go just in the last year.
It's probably been over 100
employees. Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what I want to bring up is we just recently had, what was it, 18?
I believe so.
Like 18
people that they just released. And it makes no sense whatsoever. You're giving, you know, Keith Lee a push. You got him back on TV. And now you said, nah, never mind. I mean, it's you talk about pulling the rug out from under people. That's what WWE is doing right now.
Well, I mean, it's like we discussed about Keith Lee. Like, yeah, we're getting the whole different thing. But like I told you, it was just like, eh, making the meme face, doing the snort. I mean, maybe they're just like, hey, it's not going to work.
Right.
You know, right. And that's not fair, foul, whatever. It's just if Vince has made his mind, he's like, I'm not going to spend no more time on this.
Then. Which I get, and he's got every right to do that. It's his company. But I just think there's a lot of mishandling of the talent, in my opinion. What do you think, Roland?
Yeah, it is mishandling, and it's almost like they're not caring. And, I mean, there's been backstage news coming out saying that they're having different, etiquettes, I guess you could say, for the wrestlers coming into NXT now.
Really?
Such as, like, no men over, like, 30. They don't want, indie darlings, like, you know, like how... like Keith Lee was, how, you know, guys are really big on independence. And then for, like, the women, they don't want, like, no women over 25. And they want everyone to have legitimate athletic backgrounds.
Wow.
They'll teach them the wrestling.
It's like they are switching more away from, like, actual professional wrestlers into more, I guess, going back to how they were, like, I guess in the beginning of the Attitude Era and the Ruthless Aggression Era. Like,
right.
They had their own homemade stars.
Right.
Like, what was it, the Diva Contest Search or whatever? I think the WWE is just going back to what works best for them, and they're going to start a big youth movement. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of wrestlers that got let go, but a lot of them are up in age, and I think they're seeing the value of we're going to get people that we're going to make into stars, and this, like Roland saying, in the age demographic that we want our performers to be in.
I get that, but here's where I think it's going to hurt them in the long run. Because at the end of the day, WWE and Vince McMahon can say it till they're blue in the face that they're a sports entertainment company. And you know what? They are. But at the end of the day, this is still professional wrestling. And the thing that works with professional wrestling and has since the beginning is psychology, storytelling. You've got to tell a story. Who cares if you can do 10 flips in the air and land on the guy with both feet? It looks spectacular, but moves are like a flash in the pan. They come and go. It's the storytelling that stays and lingers, okay? To this day, you hear about the cream of the crop. Everybody knows that promo. And Macho Man made that promo in the early 90s. Everybody knows about the Hard Times promo that Dusty Rhodes made, and that was back in the 80s. And it's all about the psychology. And right now, most of these performers, and I'm talking about the new ones that WWE has brought up, they're flashes in the pan. I remember, to me, what's more memorable, Ricochet. I'm talking about Ricochet. You used to watch Lucha Underground, right, Roland?
Oh, I love Lucha Underground. Okay. That knocked out WWE for a while, too.
Yeah, so here's the thing. For me, Ricochet, his most memorable match for me didn't happen in WWE. It happened on Lucha Underground when he wrestled against Rey Mysterio. You remember that match?
Oh, yeah.
That match was amazing, and it was good storytelling. He wasn't Ricochet there. He was Prince Puma. That's who I knew him as. Corny-ass name, big time. But, hey, it worked, and you knew what you were getting when you looked at Lucha Underground, just like you know what you're getting when you look at AEW. I get the decisions that Vince McMahon is making in the long run when it comes to releasing all of these stars. I just really think that it's a mishandling of talent. And in the long run, it's going to hurt him as a product, I think. Especially if AEW does not stray away from their current formula.
Which they may, because now Tony Khan, as you can tell, he's probably foaming at the mouth. And he's like, who don't want to pick from all these released wrestlers? And I think it's just going to create division to his original members or his pillars, like Roland says, of AEW. Because right. Now you're bringing WWE guys, like I said, all ex-WWE. That's what All Elite stands for, AEW. So, you know, you're bringing all these WWE guys in because, you know, who wouldn't want Karrion Kross or Killer Kross on their promotion or Keith Lee or Scarlett or right. Amber Moon,
right,
like that. So there's going to be a pecking order, and there's a few promotions. I mean, maybe they'll go to Roland's promotion. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe he's looking at talent right now
right.
to be for his promotion.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not all going to go to AEW and to NWA or Impact Wrestling or New Japan.
Right. Roland, I know we're going to talk about your promotion in a couple of segments, but Fanboy Dave brought it up, and I wanted to ask you this question. So I know River City Wrestling and Mission Pro Wrestling out of San Antonio, they got a few stars in there. One of them was Maddie Renkowski, I think that's her name?
Yes.
Right? And I know she's been on AEW Dark. Have any of the guys in your promotion or girls had the opportunity to be on an AEW Dark or anything like that?
Let's see. We've had Jasmine Allure, who was in our homecoming show last year.
Uh-huh.
She's been on Dark a couple of times.
Nice.
Let's see. We've also had the ones that have gone to AEW. We have one named Drew Hu. He came out as I can't remember if he was if he actually wrestled or it was just like he came out as like a kind of like in the background.
Gotcha.
But I know he made an appearance on AEW Dark.
Uh-huh.
We have also had Casey Blackstone. He's actually with Cult of Crowley and Hybrid Wrestling over there in San Antonio as well.
Right.
We featured him, and we're going to keep featuring him as much as we can. He actually worked a dark match against Keith Lee, I think at a SmackDown or Raw that was in San Antonio.
Nice.
The last time I was in San Antonio.
Nice. Well, that's awesome.
And the last one we've had was a man with all the vibes, Trinidad, from the island of Trinidad and Tobago. He has all the vibes. He's an amazing, fun guy. He actually was on SmackDown in Kansas City. I think it was Kansas City or St. Louis a couple of weeks ago. Oh, well, the night Hit Row debuted.
Oh, yeah,
He was one of their opponents.
Oh, okay. I remember that match. Yeah. Definitely a squash match, but
Top Dollar.
Yeah, they made him.
Yes, he was the one in the red trunks.
Okay. I know who you're talking about. Wow, that's pretty cool, man. So
yeah, and actually after that, they drove back and we had a show here at Lone Star here in Uvalde, and he wrestled at that show. So he went from SmackDown to Atlas Wrestling Promotion show.
Oh, that's awesome, man! That's awesome. So big things going on over there, and like I said, we'll talk about that some more a little bit later. So what's your take on everything that's going on? I'm interested to hear from you. I mean, let's be real, you're in the business, right? What do you think about it? Like, do you think this is going to hurt WWE in the long run? Another interesting thing I'd like to hear from you on your opinion is it wise for Tony Khan to pick up more ex-WWE guys, or are we already kind of at the limit? I mean, what are some of your thoughts?
He's going to take Eva Marie.
Oh, God, no.
No, not her. Let's see. I think with WWE, since they are pushing a younger initiative, it may hurt them for a while, maybe a year, 2 years. But during this time, they're going to be building up guys such as Bron Breakker, who is actually Rick Steiner's son.
He's going to be a star.
They're going to build him up. They're going to build up some of the other people. So they may be kind of like how the Cowboys have been having a couple off years, and now they're like hitting their stride.
Right.
I think WWE will go through like a little like kind of downtime, and you know, some of the older guys are going to not be wrestling so much, or they may retire, or they may move on. I believe Big E's still going to be there for a long time. Drew McIntyre still got a good couple of years left in them, and by the time they really start, like, going down, that's whenever Bron Breakker and everyone else will start being featured more, main eventing WrestleMania. So I say give it a couple of years, maybe two, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
WWE will kind of like kind of like plateau or maybe even go downhill a little bit. But they'll be back up once all these other guys start hitting the main rosters. And, I mean, they pretty much, sooner or later, they're going to have to make new stars, whether they want to or not.
Right.
And I truly believe that's what they're doing right now, releasing such people, especially big-name people like Karrion Killer Kross.
Yeah.
Who's been a big name, and especially in Mexico and Impact Wrestling and everything. Keith Lee, he was a really huge name here in Texas.
Right.
And, his contract, I know his contract clause, his no-compete clause, I'm sorry, ends in the beginning of February. Wow. And guess who happens to have a show in the middle of February? Which we'll get to that later on.
Nice.
So, there's going to be opportunities, there's going to be work for these people no matter what, especially the bigger names, Mia Yim, Ember Moon. Ember Moon was in Booker T's promotion as well, too, so,
yeah,
she may go back over there.
You know, she'll probably go to, was it Reality Wrestling? He'll probably have her on her show.
Yeah, she's from Dallas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
I see Nia Jax going to AEW.
Yeah, now Nia Jax, that's going to be an interesting one, to say the least. What do you think, though? So you're talking about WWE possibly plateauing in a couple of years. I can see where you would think that, and you know what? You may be right. But AEW right now, they've been making some big moves over the past few months. Tony Khan... let's be real, dude. It's like Tony Khan's buying all his favorite toys, and he's, you know, making matches happen that he always wished could happen. And I get it. The man has money. Shoot, I do the same thing too. But sometimes isn't it a little too much? Like, especially with the release of these 18. I know he's probably not interested in all 18, but don't you think that might not be a good time to get any more? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's like something I told my wife. Like he, I'm looking at the list right now, the names, and the names I could see maybe him signing would be like Keith Lee, Mia Yim, Killer Kross, Scarlett Bordeaux, and Ember Moon.
Right.
Maybe Frankie Monet, aka Taya Valkyrie, but again, she could always go back to Mexico because she's so loved and was so successful in Mexico.
Oh, La Huera Loca, Medellín. They love her, man.
Yeah, but. I think he's on a spending spree, and he already said that he is going to sign some of them in the next coming months. But I kind of think he does need to, like, slow down a little bit. Not just because they're all ex-WWE, because everyone's been in WWE, everyone's been in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, everyone's been in Ring of Honor and everything. It's just the way it goes now. So... when people are like, oh, they're ex-WWE. Yeah, but before they were ex-WWE, they were ex-Ring of Honor, ex-Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, ex-Underground, ex-New Japan. They were elsewhere before, too.
Right.
But I kind of do feel like he kind of needs to, like, slow down a little bit because the roster is getting kind of, overinflated a little bit.
Congested.
In my honest opinion.
Congested.
Yes, definitely congested.
And then for, like, unless... they're going to make... I mean, I would hate for them to go to 3 hours.
Right.
Maybe make Rampage 2 hours spots. For sure, but... you know, I feel like, you know... I mean, it's good, like, that they have a good roster because what happened with what just recently with Moxley, they had Miro, who's a good enough heel and good enough to fill his spot. Okay, you got that guy, but, you know, that's good. But having so many other people, like, let's say they would have had Killer Kross as well, too. Well, who are you going to have? You have really two guys that can fill that spot.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's a very good take on it. But Fanboy Dave brought this up last week, and I don't know if there's any truth to it or not, but even that doesn't even matter. I think the point is valid, and that's, you were mentioning earlier about, like, a guy like Darby Allin. Let's talk about Darby Allin. Let's talk about MJF. What's his name? Hangman Adam Page. These guys are pillars of AEW. They were the guys that started this thing. We get congested, like Fanboy Dave said, with some of these ex-WWE guys and stuff. Next thing you know, these guys are kind of on the back burner. Fanboy Dave mentioned last week that he thought, or you said you read somewhere, right, that MJF is already kind of complaining at the fact that he's not getting the spotlight and he's not, you know what I mean? I think there's some validity there, man. I think if anybody deserves to be in the spotlight, it's these guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then, like, the good thing is that these guys are so young. MJF is only, like, what, 23, 24?
Right.
Jungle Boy is only 23, 24. Darby as well, too. They're all about the same age.
Exactly.
So that's the good thing. But, speaking of, like, kind of, like, with the congestion and all that, the most perfect example is Adam Page.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going into all out number one contender.
Yeah.
And then he got put on a back burner for a couple months.
That's true.
So to me, that's the most perfect example of signing too many people, too many big names.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I am glad to see that he's getting a push. He is going to be facing the champion, Kenny Omega, at All Out coming up. Is it this coming Saturday?
Yeah, it's Full Gear.
Full Gear. That's Saturday. Right, Full Gear. This coming Saturday. And so I kind of hope that they do a belt change, but I mean, we'll wait and see. But definitely, I think in my opinion right now, so like going back to the whole AEW and WWE thing, right? So I saw SmackDown on Friday, and then of course I saw Rampage right after that. And I got to tell you, man, SmackDown was good. I did enjoy it. But if I'm being real, it was predictable, you know, especially with the whole storyline with Roman Reigns and everything else. You kind of knew that the New Day was going to get their asses kicked by, you know, the Bloodline. That was kind of a given.
Did you acknowledge him today?
I did not acknowledge him today. Sorry. No, I did not. but here's my thing, Roland, and you tell me what you think. Because I know Fanboy Dave didn't watch Rampage.
I did not.
But what happened with CM Punk and Eddie Kingston, to me, that basically took SmackDown and threw it in the water. And Rampage was only an hour long.
But I did see it on Facebook. That guy, I don't know who that guy is either. And I'm like, that guy's
Eddie Kingston?
Yeah, he looks like a bum.
He looks like a bum. Okay.
Yeah, because I'm like, who is this guy? I don't even know who he is. And like CM Punk.
Well, if you watch AEW, you would know who he was.
He doesn't look like a star. I'm just like.
Well, not even just AEW. If you just watch wrestling in general, like Ring of Honor, and there's a big promotion in New Jersey. I think it's All Jersey or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And Combat Zone Wrestling, East Coast Wrestling Alliance. Eddie Kingston's. I mean, he's been going around for almost 20 years, and he's always been in all these other different promotions. So, if somebody was to actually watch wrestling. They would see that he may not be a big name or look like a star, but he's been doing his thing for more than 20 years, and he is a big name in the independents, like how someone like Keith Lee was a big name in Texas
right. Before
he went to WWE.
Right.
Well, all I got to say is that if he's a star, then Blue Meanie's a superstar. Because Blue Meanie has had the Blue World Order, and he was selling those shirts like nobody. So, like, this Mr. Kingston, who took Kofi's last name, I guess, I don't know, couldn't come to something original, or maybe this is his real name, you know? But
well, here's the thing, and Roland, you can back me up on this. The one thing about Eddie Kingston, the brother knows the psychology. He tells a story. Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to watch that interaction between him and Punk because it got personal. It was a shoot, brother.
I saw a little bit in there. But no, isn't that the same guy that Bubba Ray from your favorite podcast, Busted Open, said that he just needed to shut up and not say a WWE shot? Like,
yeah, he did tell him that. And that goes back to what I said earlier. I do think that AEW is not perfect.
But he's been in the business for 25 years. He should know better, right? Is that what Roland's saying? He's been all over for 20-something years, and he's taking a shot? Come on, man.
I mean, he, like Roland said, he's been in the independents, okay? Getting into AEW, I think this was his first time being in a weekly television show, okay? There's a learning curve there, right? I think a lot of these independent guys that have been in independents, they lead by their emotions. It's obvious that they do that. That's why they take the shots at WWE.
It's just for cheap ops.
It might be. But I think some of it has to do with their legitimate feelings. You know, because let's think about it. Take a guy like Eddie Kingston. You said it yourself. Being the WWE mark that you are, he does not look like a superstar to you. Which probably means that WWE thought the exact same thing. So if this is his way of saying F you to WWE, he's going to take the opportunity. I mean, it is led by emotion. Did it get a cheap pop? Hell yeah, I got a cheap pop, right? But what does a cheap pop really equal at the end of the day? More eyes on the product. Bottom line, right? Money talks, like you say. That's why Vince McMahon does what he does. It's all about the bottom dollar.
That's it.
Yeah. So, I mean, in a way, that's what they're doing too. But my point was, you and I know you saw Rampage, right, Roland?
Yes.
Yeah. So that interaction or that confrontation, I should say, between Punk and Kingston, bro, to me, that was way better than what Roman Reigns did with the New Day, man. Because it was, dude, it was a shoot, honestly. You know what I mean? And when you get reality in your wrestling, that, to me, is what makes it 10 times better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is because, I mean, like, again, you're just feeding off raw emotion. It's like, it makes it so real that you feel like you're right there and you feel the emotion coming off of them, and it gets you more emotionally invested as well.
Exactly. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this word from our sponsor with more with Roland and, of course, Fanboy Dave and myself as we get more into this whole thing with WWE. We'll talk a little bit more about the recent firings, but I want to leave you with this as we go to break, okay? We talked about you're talking about a younger generation coming up in WWE. We're going to go into like a youth era, if you will, right?
Right.
Which is great. Here's my question. Does WWE lose something by not letting older stars on the roster? I want you to think about that, and we'll talk about that.
I want to talk about something, too.
Okay, what do you want to talk about?
About John Moxley, but only for like 5 minutes.
All right, well, we'll talk about both those things right after this break.
Fellas, I know how it is. Your hair and beard are looking rough, and you need to get it taken care of right away. The problem is, where do you go? Say no more, because I have the perfect place for you. At Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, you'll get that fresh cut and trim by well-trained professionals who know just how to get what you want, a man's cut and a man's trim. Dallas and Jawan will hook you up with your tailored-to-you cut and beard trim, along with the straight razor shave and a relaxing hot towel treatment. These fellas will give you that old-school treatment where you sit back, relax, and unwind while you get back to looking like a gentleman should. When you walk in the door, talk to old Dow and let him know that the Brothers of Discussion sent you, and he'll offer you a complimentary cold one or a shot of whiskey. Stop by 322 West Hopkins Street in San Marcos, Texas, or you can go online and make your appointment today at hanleysbarbershop.com. Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, where good times and good vibes make for a great look.
Gentlemen, we have returned. You like that? I'm kind of switching it up every now and then.
That was nice.
Thank you. I wanted to do the same thing all the time. So it disappointed you guys. Right?
Yeah.
That's the last thing I want to do is disappoint Fanboy Dave.
That's right.
I don't want to be on this bad list. I don't want to make the list of Fanboy Dave.
That's right. I'm going to give you a chair.
Oh, and we are back.
We are indeed.
And we are here with Roland Seiss from Atlas Wrestling Promotion.
Who's apparently our cousin.
And he is our cousin.
Which I did not know.
He's our family.
Yep.
but also, I got to say, Roland, very, very, very knowledgeable when it comes to professional wrestling. You were talking about a lot of promotions and things like that I honestly have never heard of, man. So I am very impressed. Fanboy Dave, how about you? Would you say it's impressive?
I guess so. I mean, I don't watch anything that's not WWE, so that's why I didn't know who any of these wrestlers who Puma. Well, Ricochet was Puma. I was like, he's Ricochet to me, not Mr. Puma or Prince Puma.
Prince Puma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we've been talking a little bit about both promotions, WWE and AEW. We started off talking about the firings that just took place within this last week. 18 people were let go. And not only that, the office person, I don't know the specific titles or anything, but I believe it was the person that basically fires the people. She resigned as well.
Mm. I thought that was People Power, Johnny Unitas.
I think he's the
Laurinaitis.
One. No, I think.
He just calls.
He just calls. That's all he does.
Oh, okay.
He makes the phone call. By the way, did you see the Acclaim take that dig, Roland?
Oh, yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
Did you hear about that, Fanboy?
Yes, I saw it on Facebook. And Daniel Bryan looked, I mean, not, what's his name again?
Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, he looked like he had a smirk on his face.
Yeah, he did. It was pretty funny. It was nice. It was. So, I asked a question before the break, and I want to get both of you guys' take on this. So,
let me do my question first, because it's a serious question.
Okay, so, Roland, apparently Fanboy Dave's got a serious question. About, I honestly don't believe him, but let's
about,
hear it.
About Dean Ambrose. I mean, John Moxley.
Yeah, get it
so
right.
So, you know his book is coming out?
Mox, yes.
Yes, but you know how he just went to rehab?
Yes.
So, my question is, if he was still in WWE, do you think by him going to AEW, he felt like he had to be more deranged or crazy, and maybe that got him to drinking more and things like that, or seeing they had to be the character all the time? I mean, I hope he gets the help that
what
he
mean,
needs.
Like living the gimmick?
Right. Like, I hope he gets the help that he needs, because apparently he had a, you know, problem with alcohol.
Right.
And, you know, wish the best for Dean Ambrose. I mean, John Moxley. But do you think that if he was in WWE that he probably wouldn't have had to go on to rehab, because maybe he just thinks he has to be on all the time?
Well, and Roland, I'm definitely going to let you chime in on this, because you'll probably know better than me. But it, my understanding is the John Moxley, the character you see now, that's always been him. You know what I mean?
So he was just watered down in WWE big
exactly,
time.
Exactly,
exactly.
Oh, because he was in that one crazy organization.
CZW?
Yeah, those guys are nuts.
Yeah. So John Moxley's always been this guy, right?
Yeah, he's always been this guy. Like, you go back to... Again, Combat Zone Wrestling, and you follow him. He's always been real balls to the wall, and, you know, if just in your face and everything. He's always been like that same character. That's why people love him so much.
Right.
He showed a little bit of it in WWE, but again, you know, he had to be more watered down, more family friendly.
Right.
And now that he's in AEW, you know, it's like Tony Khan gives a free reign, you know, as long as they take care of themselves, which, I mean, obviously this happens, so he is taking care of himself.
Right.
But him jumping to, like, Game Changer Wrestling, especially having these brawls with Nick Gage and Matt Cardona and all that, it's, you know, it's giving him free reign. So I think he's, like, living the gimmick a little bit more, yes.
Right.
But he's also, like, he's more free. So that may be a consequence of being more free.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
For not having like a leash on them to be like, hey, you need to pull it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, going back to, and you made this comment before, Fanboy Dave, about Tony Khan, right? Because he's new at this. This could be one of those learning experiences that, on the one hand, it's good that he's giving the talent, letting the talent be talented, as I've said before, but... Yeah, maybe it has to be molded a little bit better. Maybe there are some reins that need to be drawn and whatnot. Because I also remember seeing an excerpt or a clip from the reality show Roads to the Top that Cody Rhodes has. And there was a clip on there where Brandi Rhodes is talking to Mox. And she's like, how you doing? And he's just like, oh, I'm a little hungover. He's at work.
Right.
You know, can you imagine what would happen to us at our normal jobs if we were we're a little hungover?
Well, even if he was in WWE, they would send him home.
Exactly.
Because you're at work and you're putting your coworkers in danger.
Right, exactly.
Like the whole thing with Jeff Hardy in TNA when he was drunk, and I forgot.
Oh, with Sting? Yeah.
And Sting got mad.
Yeah, yeah. So I think some of this stuff, like Mox going into rehab, was bound to happen because... Let's be real, man. AEW, this is brand new territory for
them. Like this old saying. I mean, I did prison work. When you had the inmates run the asylum, this is what happens.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. And I think through this, Tony Khan's starting to see what's working and what's not working.
That he can't be, I'm the biggest wrestling fan ever.
Yeah.
I need to be a boss, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. But I still think you don't give him enough credit, in my opinion, because the man does know... the business world, he does know the role of a boss. Yes, his dad owns the Jacksonville Jaguars, but if I'm not mistaken, he plays a prominent role in that organization as well.
Who, by the way, beat the Buffalo Bills, which was shocker this year.
Yeah, there was a lot of shocking things that happened in football, but I don't want to go there.
Okay. Okay, that's all I wanted. Now we can get back to the youth movement of NXT.
Yeah, so let's get back to this youth movement thing that we were talking about. So, Roland was talking a lot about the old school wrestlers like Dusty Rhodes and whatnot at the beginning of the show. And I think you would agree with me, Roland, that having guys like that, the legends, right? The guys like, let's take like Edge, for example, or in AEW, you got guys like Dustin Rhodes and Arn Anderson and whatnot. These yeah. guys, I think, are necessary for these organizations to really work, because who's going to show the new talent about the psychology, about the storytelling, right? And so here's the question I ask. My point is basically this. If WWE wants to go on a youth movement, that's fine. More power to them. Vince, if that's what Vince wants to do, it's his company. But I think if you completely take away the old school aspect of it, or in this case right now, it would probably be people like Edge, for example.
Well, no, if you're talking about NXT 2.0, you still got pillars. You got Tommaso Ciampa. You have right. Johnny Gargano.
Right.
I'm trying to think for the way. What's his wife's name? I can't think of her name right now.
Candice Marie.
Yeah, so you still have some veteran leadership down there. It's not they're just getting rid of. They're just getting rid of some of the older ones in the main roster.
Right, and I get that, but that's still even my point. I think those guys are vital for the survival of a business like this. What do you think, Roland?
Yeah, definitely. We need the older hierarchy there. I think in WWE, if they're going to start doing that, but having less and less older people there that have been in the business for 10, 20, 25 years, well, then you need to start going to your own veterans, which right now would be Randy Orton.
Right.
Would be, let's see who else, like Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, for sure.
They need to start taking control of the locker room, AJ Styles. Yeah. I mean, especially AJ Styles, since he's been all around the world and has always competed at a top-notch level.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
If you're going to be letting go of more and more of the older guys, then you need to use the older guys in your locker room to take that charge.
Definitely. So, yeah, I don't see WWE getting rid of guys like that, like your Randy Orton's, like your Rey Mysterio's, for example. That's another one, too. You know, I think those are the guys that definitely need to be the locker room leaders, you know. I think, and this is something I don't see right now happening in WWE, but you remember at it wouldn't be the Attitude Era, it would be the Ruthless Aggression Era. At the tail end of the Ruthless Aggression Era, you had Shawn Michaels, who was still in action, right? Triple H was still pretty much in action. You even had The Undertaker. Some of these real veterans. But take somebody like Shawn. Shawn was still so active in storytelling, man. He was in these angles that just worked. I mean, some of the most memorable ones were his feud with John Cena. He had the feud with Jericho. And, I mean, those were stories that just left an impact on you. And I think right now that's where WWE is lacking. Because, honestly, just in the last couple of years, the only stories that really stick out in my mind are what's been happening with Roman Reigns recently and maybe some of the stuff with The Fiend, but even then, that wasn't that much. I mean, would you agree?
I agree, and like for me, it's like I can remember a lot of stuff with Jericho that he did in WWE.
Right.
Such as the Festival of Friendship with Kevin Owens. And then going back, like I said, how Shawn Michaels was still active with Jericho.
Yeah.
One of the things I can always remember, like it just stays with me like a wrestling memory from WWE, is Jericho throwing Shawn Michaels headfirst into the Jerrotron 5000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very memorable. And when he punched Shawn's wife.
Yeah. So, yeah. And, of course, all that was for the story.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, yeah, it wasn't exactly kid-friendly because, you know, there was blood and, you know, something like that is pretty violent when you think about it.
Right.
So, you know, maybe that's what WWE needs to start doing again, is adding more realism to it.
Yeah, and I think that's in my opinion where they're hurting right now, because like I said, there's not really any memorable storylines happening right now. I think the only thing that has me even a bit interested in anything WWE is doing is Roman Reigns and what he's doing in his storyline. And at this point in time, I really don't even care about what he's doing with the New Day. I want to see what's going to happen with Brock. That's really the only thing right now that interests me. So, I mean, what do you think, Fanboy Dave?
I mean, I'm interested in Big E against Seth Rollins, now with KO.
But let's be honest. On that okay, let's just use Big E and Seth Rollins as an example right now, right? Is that really a compelling story? Has that story been happening for a while? It hasn't.
No, it just started.
Exactly. And not only that, this past Monday, it was not Big E and Seth Rollins. It was Big E and Kevin Owens. And then it was Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. It just, there's no consistency in any stories. It's like if you're going to go with a story, stick with that story, right? Right now in AEW, I'm wanting to see Darby Allin kick the crap out of MJF. And that storyline's been going already for a couple of months. You know what I mean? So that's just one example. Then you got the whole thing with Hangman Adam Page with Omega, Kenny Omega. And that storyline's been going on for over a year, technically. Right, Roland? Because they were friends, yeah. And then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, coming in as like the, well, Hangman really part of the Elite still, really. I think people forget about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Then winning the tag titles. Adam getting kicked out of the Elite. Actually, I think people forgot about that, too. That just happened. Like, hey, you're out of the Elite. Nick Jackson kicked them out.
Right, right.
And then coming to now, it's like, you know, now he was coming for his redemption. Cage comes in. Christian Cage comes in. And then he's out. He's knocked out.
Yeah.
And now here he comes again.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it has been, that match has been, like, a year, more than a year in the making.
Yes. And, again, it's a slow burn. It's something that, as a fan, you're waiting to happen, and that's exactly what the whole purpose behind psychology and storytelling is about. You get something on TV that grabs the wrestling fan, pulls them in to the point where they want to see the outcome. You know, going back to the old school days, man, you had the Rockers. Before they were the Rockers, I think they were the Midnight Rockers, and I keep forgetting who they were facing, but I remember that they were feuding with them for like a year to a buildup of a match, and then they didn't even win the titles at the end. But man, were people invested in the story. You know, that match got real bloody. It was very violent, but again, pro wrestling, and there was a story for you. And there's a lot of great examples from back in the day. And with WWE getting away from that formula, I don't know. I just don't think it's going to be good for business in the long run. My opinion, of course. My opinion. I know Fanboy Dave thinks differently, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, and I've always thought, like, okay, like, how, I guess it's going to be Lesnar Reigns again.
Right.
It's like this whole time they could be building up someone like, who's on SmackDown again right now that's real big? Give me a name.
Well, you got the, of course, King Woods, who's there.
Okay, well, let's say, like, Nakamura. Okay, then let's say, like, Nakamura, right?
Yeah, Nakamura.
Okay, let's say have him on a winning streak, but not interacting with Reigns for, like, since maybe May or June, right?
Right, right.
And then, but this whole time, you know, I'm fine having different challengers every month because that's how you build the credibility of the title and the champion.
Right.
Sometimes I can see if it's a big person, like, let's say it would have been, like, AJ Styles or Seth Rollins. Okay, yeah, make it, like, two or three matches at pay-per-views. Okay, that's fine because that's a big enough thing to warrant that.
Right.
So, like, let's say if he would have had Seth Rollins for, like, 3 months in a row, fine with me. They could even tease Rollins winning the title, but, of course, he's not.
Right.
But this whole time, though, you have Nakamura beating all these other people as well, too, until we get to, let's say, Survivor Series.
Right.
And, like, let's say having champion versus champion, they would have had Reigns against Nakamura. Nakamura could have won the title, but he would have been built up as a credible champion. They would have had a little bit of interaction here and there, teased it here and there.
Yeah.
But keep them still separated until, boom, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And then it's that build-up, man. It's you're building that anticipation, you know, where the wrestling fan is like, oh, man, I got to see this. I can't wait to see this. I definitely get what you're saying, and I still stand by what I say. I think in the long run, I think that's going to be the reason why, where you mentioned earlier, where WWE might have a couple of years where they kind of plateau. I think that's probably going to be a big reason as to why they plateau. Fanboy Dave, thoughts?
I think that ECW. Sorry, I think AEW is just going to make the same mistake that WCW made and that TNA made, and the stars that they belt are going to leave and they'll come to WWE.
I love how you skirted the question completely. That's not even what I asked.
I'm just saying. That's what I think.
You can tell he's not paying attention.
Yeah.
Now, but as far as like stars, yeah, he's right. I mean, we could have someone like Shinsuke, but at the end of the day, I mean, they want Rock and Reigns, so it's not going to matter who they put.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's...
That's what they want. They want him to break his... Not, what is his name? I'm so off today. My back really hurts. They want Brock Lesnar's Universal title reign broken by Reigns.
Right, right.
And then, you know, there's nobody else after that to challenge.
Yeah.
So it has to be The Rock.
And I think that's one of, the reasons why WWE is going to suffer a little bit, because they're not, I don't think they're listening to their fans at all. And don't get me wrong, I don't think the fans are always right. You know what I mean? I really don't. Right. But in some aspects, I think you got to listen to the fans, you know. So, but anyway, we're going to take another break real quick. Roland, when we come back after this break, man, we're going to talk all about Atlas Wrestling, man. So get ready. This is going to be your chance to
just... Not Tony Atlas, right?
No, not Tony Atlas.
All right.
This is going to be your chance to really talk about the promotion. I want you to really to get it out there. And I promise you, one of these days I'm going to go to a show because I really want to. But let's take this quick
break. December 18th is our next one. December 18th. I'll say it right now, right before the break.
Okay.
December 18th. That's when you guys can go ahead and come down.
No. It would just be him. Just be him. I only watch WWE, and I only go to WWE shows.
This guy.
So it would only be him. Let's just put that out there.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with more with Roland and, of course, the Brothers of Discussion here. So just keep it right here. We'll be right back.
Going on 10 years in the community, Metroflex Gym has been the place for back-to-basics, no-fluff training. At Metroflex, you'll have the resources available to you to reach your fitness goals, whatever they may be. Owners Daniel Haggerty and David Wheat are available and ready to help guide you in the proper direction to get the best results for your health. Want to lose weight, increase stamina, or gain mass? Daniel Haggerty is a licensed trainer with over 25 years experience in nutrition and training and how to get the most out of your workouts. Come by today for a visit at 2101 Clovis Barker Road, San Marcos, Texas, or call to make an appointment for a tour at 512-878-8575. Homegrown in the community and veteran owned, Metroflex Gym is the hardcore training place for a hardcore workout. Call today.
We have returned, brother. Yeah, we are back. Once again, we are here with Roland Size of Atlas Wrestling Promotion, based out of Uvalde, Texas. And
yep.
He is our cousin.
That's right.
And he's our family.
Would you like to tell people where Uvalde is?
It's in Texas.
Uvalde.
Down south.
Uvalde is basically 80 miles west of San Antonio.
There you go.
So it's in between, literally in between San Antonio and the border.
Well, see, that's why he wants to tell him, because someone's going to have to go to the show with you since I'm not going.
Right before you get to the gates of hell, there's Uvalde. I'm just kidding. Because it gets
and
hot.
And also, we're at the crossroads of America, because Highway 90, Highway 83,
that's true.
The two longest highways in America, they intersect in Uvalde.
That is very true.
I heard there's good hunting in Uvalde. Not that I'm a hunter, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah? Good hunting. Also, the home of our former vice president, John Nance Garner. Which we could get into a whole discussion about how our family's tied into Mr. Garner. Ain't that right, Roland?
Oh, heck yeah. Don't worry.
We could get into a whole discussion on that, but we won't.
Not even just him, but also Roy Rogers and what was her name? The one that lived on the corner?
I know. I forget her name, but yeah, I know who you're talking about. What is her name? Yeah, she lived on the corner of in our barrio where we grew up.
Is her name Brandon?
Exactly.
No, her name's not Brandon.
Oh, okay.
No, let's go, Brandon. I
don't know. Anyway. Like our family even played a part in training Roy Rogers, for all the old people out there.
Yeah.
Roy Rogers is horses. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he's
right.
On the TV shows.
Yep. So we got a lot of connection with some famous people and stuff, but that's a whole other story.
Well, yeah, you know me.
Oh, whatever. All right, so
that's
Roland.
That's a whole other podcast right there.
Yeah, right. Roland, tell us about Atlas Wrestling. We want to know. Give us the like skinny the
foundation.
Yeah, everything. Man. How did you get involved? Everything. We want to know. All our listeners are listening as well as we are. So let us have it, man. Go for it.
All right. About a little bit more than a year ago, I was going through Facebook and I see a couple of ads talking about AWP, Atlas Wrestling coming, bringing wrestling back to Uvalde. I'm like, well, what do you know? You're a fan of me. All right, I'll buy some tickets and I'll go.
Right.
So then, my boss now, Elijah Galindo, who is also one of the talent, King Cobra Exotic, he puts pretty much an ad out on Facebook saying that anybody wanted to go ahead and if anybody wanted to be in the business, work for like production, even be a wrestler, be a manager, be an announcer, go ahead and message him, a whole application process, and we had an interview and everything, and ended up being hired. So we literally been in existence for a year. The year was this past Sunday.
Oh, wow, congrats.
When we had our homecoming show at Lone Star here in Uvalde, it was at the Rodeo Arena, which our next show will happen at Rodeo Arena because that's how big it's going to be.
Wow.
It was there. We had a very good turnout. I met a lot of guys for the first time, guys such as Max Heiss, Edgar Garza, Dre Team, PYT, who are very over here in Uvalde, even though they're from Louisiana. Alex Arsenal, Eric Shadows. I met them all. All a great group of guys, great athletes, wrestlers. I mean, these guys really are like kings of their craft, especially guys such as Eric Shadows, who is right now our main champion.
Okay.
Our Atlas Wrestling Promotion champion is Eric Shadows. He is also the leader of our heel faction, which is the House of Wolves, who I always call them the House of Puppies. Him. Also, our Atlas Division champion. So they actually hold both of our titles right now. Eric Shadows and Nathan Bradley is our Atlas Division champion.
Nice.
Nathan Bradley, I don't know if you guys heard of him. He does a lot of shows in San Antonio as well, too. He is phenomenal. He is so amazing in the ring. And they also have another guy named Pac Ortega,
okay,
who is, you know, of course, one of our main heels. And now, a big name also in the Texas independent scene, they also have Dill Dempsey on their side, too.
Oh, wow.
Dill Dempsey actually revealed himself as the masked man who had been helping them, interfering and cheating and interference and all that good heel stuff.
Right.
It was him.
Huh.
And we all thought he was a good guy. It turns out this whole time, this whole past year,
yeah,
he was on their side.
Wow.
So
it was me all along.
They are our main heels. Some of the other faces we have, of course, our hometown boy, Exotic, King Cobra Exotic. Again, we use Alex Arsenal, who's been doing very good and becoming very, very big himself. We also have T-Ray, the Ray of Light T-Ray.
Uh-huh.
Let's see, who else did we got on here? Some Max Heights as well, too. He's just a phenomenal guy. He does a whole lot of Eddie references in his match as well, too.
Okay.
He has awesome hair. He always has awesome hair on him, too.
Awesome hair. Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Hey, yeah, Roland. So, a lot of Dave's, yeah.
Fanboy Dave's got a question.
Okay, what's that?
Do y'all have a women's division?
Yes, we do have a women's division. That's what I was getting at right now, too. Besides also that, we're also kind of like a revolving door. We do use more talent, whatever talent we can come and that they want to participate with us and everything. We'll take anybody. We took in people from a lot of schools in wrestling. Women's division, we have, let's see, our main heel in our women's division is actually Phoebe. She lives over there in San Antonio.
I've heard of her before.
Is her name?
Yeah, she's a dastardly heel. She'll fight kids. She was going to fight our little cousin Unica, really, at this past Sunday.
Wow.
So, on our main face, you could say, would be Lady Bird Monroe.
Okay.
She's from Austin.
Okay.
So, you know, these are, like, two names to really look up to. We also been using another heel named Zula, and we've had a couple of women here and there. Mia Friday, we use Mia Friday a lot as well too. She is only 15 years old.
Oh wow!
So everyone listening, 15 years old, Mia Friday. You would not even think she's that young. She's been getting bigger little by little as well too. We've also used Killa Kate. Jasmine and Laura, of course, was on one of our first shows.
Right.
She's been on AEW. We used other women as well, too. Denise Day, SJ Vega.
Y'all use anybody from Mission Pro Wrestling?
Yeah. Let's see. We've used some girls that also to go over there, such as Mighty Myra.
Okay.
Zula's been over there. Lady Bird Monroe has been over there on Mission Pro as well, too. So we have some girls that have been over there as well too.
Man, you ever get Thunder Rosa, bro? Shoot, I'll be there.
Oh, I know that. Trust me. Maybe one day. Like, we have a lot of big things planning for 2022.
Nice.
Like I said, there's a lot of new releases. A lot of the people that got released, they have come to Texas, where they are from Texas.
Right.
Like I was talking about Keith Lee, so. You know, then maybe the stars align. We'll see some of these people that just got released over here with us.
Nice.
Also, let's see. We try to do shows like about every other month.
Yeah, because I was gonna ask you. So just like, okay, so like when we're watching AEW or WWE, any of those shows, there's always a buildup. You know, you got to see the buildup to the next match. You got to see the story unfold. You know, there's promos that are cut and. Vignettes or what have you. You see it every week on television. How does Atlas Pro Wrestling keep the fans interested in whatever storylines you have going? Do you have like internet or not internet, but do you have like YouTube stuff or you know, how is it that you guys keep the interest going so that the fans can follow the story?
Yeah, we actually use a lot of our YouTube and Facebook channels. On Facebook especially, you'll find like promos in between shows. We also have an Instagram account as well too that shares a lot of information. But we started doing shows called Ascension, which was the name of our very, very first show.
Okay.
Those are kind of like more like the house shows. We're trying to make them like weekly, bi-weekly. Those will be, of course, you know, kind of like the Raw, SmackDown, Dynamite, Rampage of us.
Right.
But
be like on YouTube.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, those are going to be up on YouTube. Some of our other shows already are on YouTube, as well as select matches are on YouTube.
Oh, cool.
Mainly we kind of did what Ring of Honor was doing in the beginning. Is they didn't really have like kind of like a weekly show or like a regular show. Right. It was just like show after show after show. So that's kind of what we did. So if you were to follow from the beginning, you will be able to follow the storylines and follow how everything, the flow of things. You'll be able to follow the flow of things.
Okay. All right. Cool.
So is this organization family friendly, PG-14, rated R?
It's family friendly. Don't worry. So we cater to all ages. Of course, we have people that dance. We got people that, people that cater to the kids, people that cater to families. Of course, it's professional wrestling. Cuss words will slip out here and there,
Right.
It happens everywhere, but, some of these kids here worse are at home.
Yeah, that's true, especially in our family. let me ask you this. Yeah. Do you guys, any blood? Anybody get busted open or anything like that?
If they do, it's the hard way.
Oh, wow. Wow, okay.
Yeah, we don't really do like hardcore matches per se.
Okay.
We've had candlesticks, tables, chairs, come into play, but we don't really go more into the hardcore side of things. We let the athleticism and the skills of our wrestlers come out and show, and that's really how we've been attracting people and how we put on our shows is our wrestlers using their skills.
Gotcha. Wow, man. Well, that sounds great. That sounds awesome. So we're coming to the end of the show. Oh, you got a question?
What about ticket prices?
Yeah, I was just about to say. So now that we're coming to the end of the show, I want you to go ahead and use this time, talk about some upcoming events, prices of tickets, give everybody the information where they can find you on social media, all that stuff.
All right, so our next show coming up is going to be December 18th at the Rodeo Arena at the Uvalde County Fairplex. It's going out to Del Rio, so you get Highway 90, you go west. It's pretty much a little bit out of town. It's a big rodeo arena. You can't miss it. It's called Super Saturday because we have our show called Olympus. It's going to be our WrestleMania,
okay.
Our biggest show of the year. We're going to go all out for that one, okay? No pun intended. No pun intended, Dave.
We'll use it all.
Also,
I got it.
Also, before our show, it's going to be Ringside Records and Wrestling. They're a company from around Abilene, San Angelo, somewhere around there. I'm sorry that I forgot, and hopefully they don't beat me up. they're gonna put on their own show as well too. So we're gonna be able to have you're gonna be able to buy tickets for both. It's gonna be called a Super Ticket.
Nice.
Super Ticket Ringside. You're gonna have to go to Eventbrite, and if you follow us on social media, on Facebook especially, just look up Atlas Wrestling Promotion, give us a like. You'll be able to see posts coming out that it will have the link to Eventbrite, because it's like Eventbrite/E/ all this other mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, I got you.
So for the super tickets for both shows, so you can buy a ticket for both shows, cover both shows. The first one, Ringside, is $35.
Nice.
General, and that's it'll be like, you know, literally a ringside, because we will have the ring on the rodeo arena on the floor in the dirt and all that good stuff.
Wow.
So it'll be out there. Sorry. That's $35. For a general admission, which will be the actual stands, that's going to be $20. And kids, 10 and under, it's going to be $10.
Nice.
So this is, again, this is the super ticket information, the prices for both shows.
And when is that? That show?
I'm sorry?
That show, the super ticket you're talking about, when is that one going to be, the Olympus?
Okay, okay. So, again, it's going to be December 18th. The Ringside Records show will be at 5. We will be on about 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And for our show, if in case you doesn't want to come to our show, but we strongly encourage you guys get the super tickets in both shows, because there's going to be amazing talent that's been on like AEW, talent that's been in Game Changer Wrestling as well too.
Nice.
In case you guys see Game Changer Wrestling, they're gonna have a couple guys. We're gonna have a couple guys too.
Awesome.
So, but if you just want to come to our show, Olympus. Ringside will be 20, general admission 12, and kids 10 and under is $7.
Very affordable prices, man. Very affordable.
So what if the kids too? Is it free?
Yeah, so again, this is December 18th, live here at the Rodeo Arena, the Uvalde County Fairplex. We encourage everybody to come out there, come enjoy real Texas independent wrestling, because how Dave's all WWE...
Fanboy Dave.
Guess what, Dave? All these people came from promotions like this.
Well, that's good. So once they make it to WWE, I'll know who they are.
Exactly. So we encourage everybody, because you never know when you're going to see these people on TV.
Right.
You never know when they're going to make it big, and you can just sit back. Because I can remember first time I saw Bryan Danielson, I didn't know it was him.
Oh,
first
wow.
time Shawn Michaels had a show here in Uvalde at the Civic Center. He was just the American Dragon. He wore a mask. He did Rey Mysterio moves. I was like, wow, this guy's amazing.
Yeah.
A couple years later, I see a Ring of Honor. I'm catching a Ring of Honor show in like 2006, and they're saying the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson. I'm like, American Dragon, I know that. And it was him.
Oh, wow.
And then he's in WWE, and now AEW. So I'm like, I saw one of his very first matches in Little Uvalde.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. That's a great story.
So what Roland is saying, I should probably go to the show since he's in with this promotion, who introduced me to the women that are wrestling in the promotion. That's what he's saying. Okay.
That's your incentive to go?
Maybe to go meet
some of the women wrestlers?
Yeah, and bring them on the show. Hey, I have a podcast. Want to come on my show? I see what Roland did there.
Yeah. Don't forget, it's our show, okay? Not your show, right?
That's right.
Anyway. Hey, Roland, listen, brother. I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show. for giving us your insight. And let's be real, man, your professional insight, because you are in the business. You definitely got a lot of knowledge, especially when it comes to the independents. You know what? I think I'm definitely gonna do my best to come out there on the 18th.
He ain't going.
I want to go check it out. Whatever.
He ain't going.
I definitely want to go check it out, man, and get a ringside seat, especially since it's very affordable.
Hey, maybe Roland can give you backstage passes too. You might know a guy.
Oh, and real quick, yeah. Right before we finish, we are also looking for music and vendors. Since we're making such a big,
production
deal, since we are going, big production, we are going all out again. We're any kind of music, whether you play rock, whether you do rap, you DJ, you know, we have an application on our Facebook page as well too. So go ahead, fill it out. We'll see it. We'll be in contact with people. With our vendors, it's going to be $50 flat rate in order to get yourself over there, okay? So if you sell apparel, you sell jewelry, you sell whatever you sell, you make food, you make, you know, any drinks, anything, go ahead, message me, Roland Seitz, message Elijah Galindo, or message the Atlas Wrestling Promotion page. I think we may have a little application thingy too on our Facebook page. I need to make sure. But just message one of us. Again, Roland Seitz, Elijah Galindo, or Alice Wrestling Promotion, message us, I'm sorry. That way, again, we any kind of vendor, whatever you sell, whatever you make, go ahead and give us a call, give us a message. You know, we'll get you in. Again, awesome. We're going to be having people from all over the state, and we're even going to have a couple of wrestlers from out of state as well, too. So they're coming, their people are coming, so who knows what other people are coming from what other states.
Wow, that's awesome, man. That sounds like it's going to be a really great show.
Look at that, Rob T. You can go play out there, and then you'll be at the show.
Yeah, right. Maybe. We'll see what happens. Well, Roland, thank you so much, man. Thank you so much for being on the show. Hopefully this won't be the last time. I'd like to bring you back. Maybe we can even get some of your talent to come on the show one day. Who knows? Sir. Maybe we can get him to cut a promo on Fanboy Dave over here.
Hey, I'm just excited because WrestleMania tickets went on sale this week. And the championship package is sold out because the WWE Universe is coming strong.
Yeah, okay. Anyway. No, I know. Yeah, WrestleMania is in Texas this year, so I'm not surprised.
Next year.
But anyway, Roland, thank you again, man. We really appreciate your time for coming on the show. Once again, big shout-out to Atlas Wrestling Promotion. We're going to really plug you guys.
The next shows.
Not just on this episode, but on future episodes as well. So whenever you have a, let your guys know that whenever you guys have a show, we'll make sure to plug it on our show. Okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Thank you, brother. And for everybody else, we just want to say thank you so much for listening. Remember, if you got any kind of show ideas, or you just kind of want to give us your input, or you want to tell Fanboy Dave how much of a great guy he is, whatever, you can always email us at brosofdiscussion@gmail.com. That's brosofdiscussion@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search Brothers of Discussion. You'll find us. You can't miss us. And always just keep it here. Remember, we're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. And if you do have Apple Podcasts, do us a favor. Go on there and give us that 5-star rating. That way we can let people know, more people know, that we're out here and we're talking about all things professional wrestling. So again, we say thank you to Roland. We thank all of you guys for listening to us. And you've been listening to Rob T.
And Fanboy Dave.
And this has been the Brothers of Discussion.